Okay, June 26th. Get that down on your calendar. June 26th, you'll be invited to the House of Pain, Hutchinson House, for the new members picnic, you and your families. And I really love Mexican food. Peanut butter cookies. And chocolate chip is good Mexican food. Forget everything else. But peanut butter cookies and good peanut butter cookies with oatmeal, what is it called? Peanut butter scotchies or butterscotch? Butterscotches and the peanut butter. And with a little Scotch. Pray for this church. And if you can't make great chocolate chip cookies, don't come, because the pastor will talk about you. I am not one that'll hold back on the truth. You know, I teach the truth, and I will send you and your cookies home. We promise to have the dog locked up. We've only lost 2 parishioners. But it was in love. Every time. So we're going to pray. If you got any last questions on eschatology, we'll finish that, and then we're going to jump on the study tonight. And then next week, please start with the first page of your book on the Word. Okay? That's what we'll start next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you for the opportunity we had to get together. Thank you for what you want to teach us. This is your night. Move your servant out of the way. Have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. And may we all learn together. In Jesus' name we all say, praise God. Okay, 5 minutes or so for any last minute questions on eschatology. What is the only thing that's true about God? What God says is true. Where do we find out what God says is true? His Word. Anything else is idolatry. Anything anyone says that God didn't say is a lie. It's a falsehood. And where do we have to constantly find what God has said about himself? In his Word. That's why it's so important for you and I to understand, as we go into next week, what the foundation of the Word really means to you and I. And when you find out what it means for God breathed, do you understand that one breath of God in dirt was enough life-sustaining breath to lead up to this very day on all of us who has breath? Amen. One breath in dirt was powerful enough to give us all life. God and all of us exist. And that one breath not only sustaining you and I, is sustained enough to go on a page and still have the same power on the page as it has coming out of his mouth. The biggest problem is we don't get in the page enough to find out how the kind of much power is there for you and I. Okay? So it's going to be a monster next week. Because I'm wanting to have any treatment, so I may even be feeling better. It'd really be good. So, any questions before we move? Last question. Yes, ma'am.
And looking at the on the outline where it says events immediately before the 7-year period, in 1 Corinthians 15:52,
yes, ma'am,
it says at the last trumpet we shall be changed.
Yes.
Well, that's not the trumpet at the end of tribulation, is it?
It wouldn't be, would it? It couldn't be.
So what trumpet are they?
Well, it had to be the one at the beginning of the trip.
There's another trumpet?
No, you got one trumpet going to be for the... You're getting the trumpets mixed up. Okay? One is Louis Armstrong. One is the call us, and the other is judgment. we're not here for judgment. That's not a judgment trumpet.
Okay.
That's to get the church to. And God does not come back. When you talk about him coming back, he comes to the air. That's to call us out. When he comes back to earth, that's when all non-believers are going to be in trouble. 1 Corinthians 15 is re-emphasizing why the church at Corinth had bad theology, and that was they took their eyes off of Christ and started putting it on the church and gifts. Okay, it's a direct follow-up of chapter 14. So you can't understand 15 without understanding 12, 13, and 14. And Paul wrote three letters to the Corinthians. Only two was canonized and made it in the Bible. Paul wrote four letters to the Colossian church. Only two made it in the Bible. Philemon and Colossae. Okay, so there's a lot of different letters that were written that wasn't canonized. And how can a little letter written to a private guy, Philemon, make it in the canonization of the 27 books? Because if Onesimus the slave didn't keep that letter, we would have had 26 books in the New Testament instead of 27. God in his timing. Yes, ma'am. Denise?
That plays into a question I couldn't answer on the phone to a friend this week.
I wasn't on the phone. I'm sorry.
That's why you can answer it.
Yeah, go.
We're talking about, in her words, why she couldn't trust the Bible, because over the years, the church had put some books in it and some out, mm-hmm. and et cetera, et cetera, and I didn't know how to respond.
Ask her, does she believe Roman history?
Roman history.
Total? Do you believe history at all? That's the question you ask.
Okay.
Do you believe in history at all? Why do you believe in history? It's because it was written.
Exactly.
Written by men, right?
Yeah.
How many times has secular history been changed? But you still believe it. So you can believe man more than God. You are a fool. Oh yes, that's how you do it. There's no need in playing around. Just go to where the problem is. You betcha. I mean, it's only 8 volumes, guys. Only 8 volumes of books to prove that Rome existed. 8. But man does not have any problem believing that man wrote those 8 volumes and Rome existed. The only thing that man's going to question is what is going to save their lives. So don't argue with someone that don't want an answer. And the first thing you need to ask them is, if I answer your question, which you believe? If they say no, then it's just, I'm not wasting my time. Okay? Yes, ma'am.
At the beginning, when first you're talking, you said that in the coming week we're going to start on a book on the Word, and I just thought, I don't know what you were talking about.
In your workbook?
Yeah.
We'll go back to the very beginning next week. Remember what we did this year is we finished the class on the very last lessons instead of starting with the very first lesson, because I wanted to have more time to go through eschatology, which we never ever do. So I wanted you guys to have as much time as we could get on the last days, and then we'll go back to set up the last days by studying the Word. Okay? Yes, ma'am.
Why were some letters of Paul canonized and not others?
They did not pass the council on the scene. It was something that did not line up with the other 66 books. Like the Maccabees in the Catholic Bible, great truth, bad boys. You talking about some bad boys?
Yeah.
The Maccabee boys was tough. One brother killed himself by cutting the stomach of an elephant open and fell on him.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just tough. But it was the contradictions that could have been in it. It was so particular about it lining up, because it was the word of God to man. There would be absolutely no mistakes, no contradictions, nothing that could even be tested that wouldn't line up. And that was the only 66 books, not the 70 or the 65 that was written. Yes, ma'am. First Peter said that they knew, it says that this Paul's writing is very difficult to understand like the other scriptures. So they knew through the leadership of the Holy Spirit that they were writing for the rest of the world. They was completing the Old Testament. So I thought we were going to have some questions about eschatology. You guys got Bible questions.
We're ready to study the Bible.
Looks like it. Okay, are we through? Eschatology? Got your questions answered? Okay. Now, one of the things you got to understand that is very important is we're talking about studying. Okay? Tonight we're going to talk about studying. We're not talking about devotions. 5 minutes a day to fill you up is no appetite for God. Okay? We're not talking about feel-good daily bread. We're talking about becoming a student of the Word of God. So what are we talking about? Becoming a student of the Word of God. If the only thing that's true about God is what God has said, then we better have a way to get in that Word and figure it out and understand what's going on while I'm there. The first thing you have to do if you're going to study God's Word, you got to confess all your sins. You cannot start studying God's Word without having a clear conscience and confessing your sin. The Holy Spirit cannot speak to you and teach you if you have sin between you and the Word. You know how many people will start pick up the Bible and start trying to read it and not have their sins confessed and have the Holy Spirit in control? It's a waste of time. How many of you have ever started trying to study the Bible? So I'm going to study for an hour. You start. It's been 3 minutes and you think it's been 3 hours. Because there's nothing harder to do than to study. It's a lifeline between you and God. I came up with this years ago when I first became a Christian. I didn't know anything about the Bible. The only thing I knew was how to make A's and B's. And when I became a Christian, I picked the Bible up and started studying it like I had to take a test on it, like I would another test. And I developed this over the years, and I still basically study the same way to this day. So I'm going to encourage you on a couple of things we go through here. And you need a 3-binder book with paper. Will be a good thing to have so that you can follow through and follow your... Now, you can come up with any other way you want to do it, but I'm just going to give you one way that I do it and how I get things out of the Bible at times that others don't see. Because I'm asking God questions. I won't embarrass the scriptures. We're going to talk about that. Okay, is everyone feeling loopy-doopy? Now, what's up with this? Now, there are basically 4 types of studies. If you're going to study the Bible. I know you guys are right. Well, I thought there was one way to study. You know, there are 4 different ways you can study the Bible. You can do a word study. And it is what it says. It is a study of what?
A word.
Eschatology. Rapture. Trinity. Which none of those words is in the Bible. It's just the doctrine of those words in the Bible. Propitiation. That's in the Bible. Forgiveness. That's in the Bible. That's a word study. A topical study. This is where most preachers and churches preach like. Pick a topic, and each week there's a different topic that's being preached on. Okay? How can one pray? What is the purpose of prayer? You know, 4 or 5 week series, different topics. And that's how you can study. You can do a character study. Of course, it means what it says. You can study a character, Abraham, which was a character. Paul, my man. Peter, you're like chaff, blown in the wind. You're full of hypocrisy. My kind of man right there. Peter, you are a dog. Hypocrite. Kind of like that guy. And then there's a book study. far as I'm concerned, the best study is, what do you think?
Book study.
Because in a book study, you can do all other three. You have to. But in a book study, and a character study, and a topical study, and a word study, it should never be impositional. It should all be expositional. You guys know the difference between those two big East Side Caucasian words. Exposition is pulling from the scriptures what is there.
That's where the expository preaching.
That's where expository preaching comes from. To remind yourself that that is what is there. You remove any aspect. I try never to study until I'm too tired to think. I like studying from about 1 in the morning to about 3, 4, according to how my energy is. It's just as hard for me to sit down today to study as it was 35 years ago. Just as hard to sit down and study. The difference is once I sit down, if no one bothers me, I can be there for 6 hours. But it's just as hard today to sit down and start. So never ever, if you haven't been a good study of the word, never set a time that is over 5 minutes when you're first getting started. How many of you would like to go out and run you haven't ran for 2 years, 3 years, and you decide you're going to go out and run a 5 mile run? How successful are you going to be? And if you keep failing, what are you going to do? You're going to quit. So what I do, what I'm going to encourage you to do, because it's going to take building up energy to become a good studier. Not a devotion man, not a devotion woman, but to study the Word of God, is to start off the first week with just 5 minutes a day. That's all I ask. Next week, you do 10 minutes a day. And if you get a little enthusiastic, go, but don't push it. Because you may push it to the day you quit. And the first day you quit, the enemy in your flesh is going to get depressed. Third week, you had another 5 minutes. You spiritually build up to studying. Because it is work. And you're going to find out how much work as we go through this. So expositorily, exposing from the scriptures what is there, like a newborn baby. I try to be very tired, that way I can't put my own ideas in. And the tighter I am, the better I can study and learn. That's just me. I'm not a person. If I study in the morning, it's a waste of time for God and me. Everyone going, you need to do it first thing in the morning. No, you do it when you're most awake and when you can be most consistent. If you're going to study. You do not impositional study. Impositional study is, I'm going to make the scripture say it, what it said or not, so that I can feel good about what it says. I'm going to impose upon the scriptures my thoughts. Okay? Don't work. Best way to study the Bible is to read it. Read the Bible. And so if you're going to read the Bible and study it, choose a book you want to study. Amen? Yes, ma'am.
I have a question.
Already?
Yeah.
She's good.
What kind of Bibles do you read? There's so many different versions, and some of them kind of weaker than others. I mean, I don't know.
A lot of them weaker than others. There's a good Bible at the Christian bookstore, and it's called the Parallel Bible. Okay? You should have no less than 4 different translations in your home if you're going to study. A good King James, New American Standard, New International, Amplified, Living. Living is very good to read. It's not good to study. But if you're going to be a good study of the word, you're going to need a King Jimmy. The boy was a heathen, but he did a good job putting the Bible together. All right?
He got one thing right.
So you got to have a good King James. I use Revised Scofield. It's the one that I prefer. They're very difficult to find anymore, I think, Uncle James. What, 18, what was it, 18?
Something
Schofield?
Yeah.
I mean, how much? 1895?
1898. It was the last one. That's what I use. So if you ever want to try, what Bible Pastor Hutch using? Majority of the time, right now I'm using just King James because I ripped up my third Bible. So I'm getting it rebound right now. So. Painful. Plus, I know where everything is. I had it for so long. I go, I know that verse. Beep. Page 1222. So hopefully I can get it back in a couple of weeks. It's been gone for a while. My baby's been gone for a while. Is you ain't my baby. Okay, so a good parallel Bible. You can get them at the Christian bookstore. And if you got them right next to each other, they got each version, all four is on the two pages. You're going to need that. Best way to study the Bible is what?
Read it.
So choose a book you want to study. Choose a small book. You'll thank me later, all right? Don't pick a big book. I worked up the Romans, I tell you, and it took me 4.5 years the first time I studied the book of Romans. Then I taught the book of Romans and the Bible study for 4 years. And after 8.5 years, I realized I didn't know the book of Romans. Okay? It took me 2.5 years to study the book of Genesis. Revelation, I'm still studying it. It's been 20 years studying the book of Revelation. It goes on infinitum because it's future events and you're trying to get all the symbolism. What would John call the F-14 fighter jet in his day? So it's a lot of symbolism. And the reason why you're going to thank me is because you got to read that book at least 16 times in 4 different translations before you ever start trying to break it down. Do you want a devotion or you want to study? You want to study, you got to do it this way. And you got to write down your observation. Get that little 3-leaf booklet that you're going to make. And you're going to make little notes as you go through. And I'm going to tell you what the notes you're going to do. Okay? You do your initial reading. Choose your own theme for the book. Don't choose. Right now, you haven't picked up a commentary, you haven't picked up any of. This is just you and God getting in the book. After reading it 16 times, I don't care how you do it. Read one chapter in each book. You can read all 4 in times in one translation. I don't care. You choose the way you want to do it, but don't try to start breaking that book down and trying to study it without reading it 16 times, 4 times each in 4 different translations. Any questions so far?
16 times 4.
4 times 4. 4 times in 4 translations.
Okay.
16 times total. Oh, before you get through, you're going to read that book 200 to 300 times. You're just starting at the 16. Only thing you're trying to do now is get the thing. Yes, ma'am.
Website.
Yeah.
And you have to spend the money on all these translations, and you can toggle which translation you want and what passage you want.
Right.
For those of us who are not real young, the backlight of the computer helps a lot.
Yeah. For those of us that are not young, not old, not anything light behind on words help.
Yeah.
Okay. So you want to study? Or you want devotions? If you're going to study, you got to get serious. And God will meet you in your time of consistency. You're going to be absolutely amazed how much this will change your life. And you will not forget it. I mean, it's been 20-some years since I studied the book of Romans. It's like it's yesterday. You're going to become a scholar of the book that you map out and write your own book on. Make sure your theme is your explanation of the book. Because it's got to be centered around everything that is in that book. So when you think of your theme, it throws out that book in front of you. You can feel it. You can taste it. You can see it. It's going to be good. Okay? Choose a theme for each chapter. After you get the theme for the book, you should go back through, read each chapter, and then come up with a theme, your own personal theme for each chapter. You're going to write your own commentary, is what you're doing. My greatest strength is commentaries, but they won't publish me. They won't publish anything that I've written as a commentary. Anyone know why? What's that?
Probably don't agree with everybody else.
Well, that's a lot, that's a few contradictions, yeah.
Is it because of the type of degree you have behind your name, or really?
No, I haven't written enough books.
Oh.
That's the only reason. I'm catching up now, but
how many books do you have to write?
I don't know. I got five. This will be the fourth or fifth. This will be fifth. But you know, they want you to 30, 60, you know, books, I mean, before you write a commentary. And I think God has given me a gift by the way I study to write circles around these guys. Because I don't agree with what everyone else is saying a lot of times. And I think I'm just as right as they are, because the same Holy Spirit leads us when we sit down and study. And I used to wonder, why is all these books, Christian books in the library, you know, Christian bookstores, you know, the only difference I came up with, they're writing because they spend more time with God than I do. That's it. Every answer we need as Christians is in the Bible. We just don't know how to study and find it. There's not one question that you can have about biblical things that God has not put in the Bible, you know, 66 books. That'll give us the answer to. Amazing? Okay, so you got your theme on your paper. You got it written out. This is my theme of the book. Then you read each chapter. You're going to read it four or five times, right? To get the theme for the chapters. So by the time you get the theme for the chapters and the theme for the book, you got a good 20, 30 times that you read that book. Familiarity also brings on recognition, but it also brings on ignorance. So you have to watch out. You start taking things for granted. So we got to make sure you stay on the straight and narrow. Each chapter theme, you got to make sure it fits your major theme. If not, you are missing something. And you take things out of context when you do that. Excuse me? Okay. Book of Colossae, say. Jesus plus Jesus equals Jesus. That's my thing. And then the chapter was Christ crucified. Be a thing. And then chapter 2 would be there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. I mean, my second chapter goes with my first chapter. Jesus plus Jesus times Jesus equals Jesus. Then all theology is centered around Christ. Third chapter. Goodbye, Jesus. Chapter 4. Goodbye, Jesus and all his friends. It's my theme. So everything centers on my main theme from Colossae. Romans. You know, I got a chapter. You're saved by grace. And then each chapter has a theme that matches saved by grace. James. Saved by grace. Same theme as Romans. Only difference is James is saved by faith in the sight of man. So you got to have works. Romans is saved by God. No works is needed. Okay? Those are the themes. And every chapter has to match your main theme. And that means that you got to spend time thinking about what it's saying to you, not what someone else has said to them and then what they said to you.
So you're reading, what you're doing is you're reading it first.
Yeah.
It's a cornerstone.
Some people can read it once and come with a theme. Someone has to read it five times, some 10. But it's going to be your theme that matches your major theme of the book. And you work on that because you're studying. You're in this no race. You want to get to know God. Yes, ma'am.
One of the things that's helped me is intimate prayer with God. Sometimes I'll sit down and read the Bible and I'll ask God, Lord, show me. Show me what it is that you want me to know.
Mm-hmm.
To me, personally, that's the most important thing for me when I study the Bible, because I just feel like I'm not, I don't know, like I'm not smart enough. I can't get things. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord just helped me.
Yeah, and God knows it. You know, He knows that we're like a block of wood on a piece of old tree. You know, and without the Holy Spirit, you're not going to learn anything anyway. So we have the biggest prayer that I do is, God, keep my thoughts out of the way. Yeah. I got too many of them. Yeah. I think I know stuff. That's my biggest problem. And I get familiar with it, and I don't think I can learn something new at times. That's dangerous. You know? So that's why I like to be really, really tired before I study. And the tighter I am, the better my study is. Make sure you have a good dictionary. And I'm not talking about a Bible dictionary. I'm talking a regular Webster 18. What is that? What is that? 1858. I mean, that's safe. That's safe. Merriam-Webster, but I mean, that's safe, guys. They have changed words now. It's unbelievable.
What are you saying? Changing words? What?
Yeah. New definition on words. You know, with new dictionaries. Gay is a total different word than the other new dictionary.
They changed the word gay?
Oh, yeah. You're no longer happy.
Right. Yeah.
Unless you're with the same kind of guy. You know? So you have to watch out with what dictionary. And the reason why you're going to use a dictionary, make sure you have an understanding of every word and every verse. You know how many times we read a verse and two or three words, we don't have the slightest idea what it means, we keep on reading. And we wonder why, man, that don't make sense. And we'll pick up the Bible, we'll go to the third chapter, fourth paragraph, third verse, and read and go, that don't make sense. How many times have you ever got a letter and you go to the third page, second paragraph, third sentence, and start reading?
Start.
You know, don't make sense. And then today, you have to run to the end of the letter a lot of times to find out who wrote it until it makes sense, because you're trying to figure out who know me. It scare you. Are we having fun yet?
Amen.
You want to study?
Yes.
Or you want to have devotion?
Study.
So have a good dictionary, so when you come across a word you don't know, look it up, write it on your margin, get this sheet and that particular verse, this is what it means. And that alone, Amplified Bible, guy, I told you, Amplified was written by a woman. It is wordy.
Yeah.
Alright, it's wordy. I mean, but they give you different words. One word may be oh, you foolish Galatians, and 3:1. Galatians 3:1. But it goes, oh, you foolish, stupid. Who has bewitched you? I mean, it goes boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
And it'll lay it out. So if you can find a good parallel Bible and have an Amplified in it, it'll help you a lot as you're reading. Okay? Make sure you have no commentaries. Commentaries are the last thing you're going to pick up if you're going to study. You're going to see what you and God can come up with. Excuse me?
That's good insight.
Thank you. You're so kind. Yeah, John. Don't read none of the extra stuff. This is you and God getting to know in your book. You're writing your commentary. Okay? You'll come back and pick up what other people think after you exhausted what we're going to do tonight as we go through these verses. That's when we're going to have fun tonight, guys. I have my back to the clock, so someone's got to keep me on time. Okay. Make sure you have no other Bible helps. So you just regular, right? When you first start going through the 16 times, getting your themes, reading, you just want you and the Word and a dictionary. No preconceived idea. How many times have you guys ever had a preconceived idea how a DJ looks by their voice?
Yeah.
How many times have you been right?
Never.
I mean, you just hear that voice, you think they gotta look like this.
Yeah.
You know, me, people hear my voice, Clark Gable. You know what I'm saying?
Perfect face for radio.
You ever had an idea how a place look? You're going to go on vacation? You got all these ideas what it's going to look like, and you get there and you go, is this it? Yeah, I mean, preconceived ideas don't work, and what we do with Scripture is we'll pick a commentary up, we read it, and then we already got a preconceived idea of what it says before we even read it. I want to eliminate that if you're going to study. Okay? I try to go to the Bible like a newborn baby with absolutely no thoughts about what it says. I want to be completely open to what God wants to say to me in those scriptures so that I can hear from Him, not from people. 90% of what we know about the Bible, guys, 90% or higher, comes from other people. And if it comes from other people, how wrong can they be? And if they're wrong, I just went down their wrongness. Next step is to rewrite the entire book in your own words. And the best way to do it, was that your head? Bill just hit the wall.
I heard an echo.
And what you do is, most study Bibles have sections, like 1-6, you know, 7-10, and you rewrite it in a paragraph. But I want you to, the last thing you do after you got your theme and you pick your book, you've gone through, you look, you got every word in every verse understood. Now you're talking about, this is a year process, okay? This is not something you're going to do in a week or two. Okay? And so by the time you get ready to rewrite it, you're going to have a good understanding how to, you know, make a paragraph out of those verses. And you are really beginning to get, I mean, you know, you're beginning to understand the book so that you're getting ready to know how to start studying. Any questions on it? Yes, ma'am.
Do you need to know geography?
Not necessarily. God knew you would. The average person he knew wasn't going to know Greek. You know, and the average person he knew would never know how many, more than one or two cities in Israel. The difference is having the Holy Spirit take the Word of God and not allowing it to become void and changing your life to be more like Christ. You know. I got guys like James Hansen and Bill and the other pastor helping with things that I don't know. And I don't have to know because they know. You know, I use my talents on what God has given me my gifting in. That's fleetness of the tongue. You know. I'm just as much a scholar through my brother as I am him being a preacher through me. That's codependency. Codependency is not bad when it's got Christ in the middle of it. Well, we had the most dysfunctional family ever when I was growing up. But the one thing we knew, we loved each other. Have you ever noticed, guys, the difference between a white family and a black family? A white family would never hit each other and get a divorce. A black family would fight like crazy, knock each other out, and never leave. Now, which one is more committed? But which one is called violent? Don't ever get confused about what a family is. My grandfather would come home drunk every Friday, and we would fight like cats and dogs. Monday, somebody said something about us, they had to fight the whole Hutchinson clan.
Yep.
So which one was really codependent? And which one stayed together? I saw my grandmother get beat like a slave by my grandfather. But beat her like a man. And they would say, you need to leave him. She said, I married him for better or worse. Right now, it just happened to be worse. And when we got to be big enough, Grandpa would come home, we would whip him like he stole the Lord's Supper. We learned real quick how to take care of Grandma. We would tie him up for 2 days with ropes. I know. You got to think we're lying, don't you?
I believe it.
But they never left. She died. It was a stroke. He worried her to death, but she never would break that family up. And you tell me who's got commitment. Well, we got irreconcilable differences today, but we're going to be friends. Neither one of them is good. Loving family before God is good, but it's all about commitment. And the word teaches us about commitment. Amen. Can I have an amen? Don't tell anyone about all that stuff. They're thinking we're nuts. So, are you ready to rewrite that in your own word? I mean, in the thing, guys, that you see your book starts growing, your commentary starts growing, it is amazing what it does for you and the time you spend with God and what you're learning as you go through. I thought you wanted to study. No devotions. This is not a devotional. 10 minutes in the morning won't do it if you want to study the word. To really study is God's time to show you something new about him. See, the number one thing that I always try to ask once I get through studying, did God get anything out of this? Because if I'm going to spend time with you, what am I hoping? Calvin, spend time with the young lady. Is that all about you? Or are you hoping she had a good time? You better answer, son. And better answer right. Yeah. You know, it's about her getting as much out as you. And guess what? When you spend time with God, you think he wants to get some out of it? And when you pray to God, sometimes you just need to shut up. You know that? How many of you have ever been praying and the next thing you know, your mind's wandering?
Yeah.
Anybody?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a secret. Never sit down and have serious prayer without pencil and paper. Okay? Make sure, if your mind wanders off a lot when you pray, make sure you always have pencil and paper. When you catch your mind wandering off, stop, don't feel bad, write it down, and go back to praying. You know what it is a lot of times? God telling you to be quiet, he has something to tell you. And when you read through it, God will tell you what he needs you to do. But you better do something. And what is it? Do it. Yeah.
Interruptions themselves are
many times it's God trying to get you to shut up. So he can tell you something. Because if it's prayer with God, God should have a piece of the conversation, huh? Like that, Alex?
Yep.
How to study each section. You must ask the scripture questions. If I want to learn something from you, what's the best way I can learn from you? Ask your questions. I can't guess. If I want to know what you're thinking, I ask what you're thinking. Now, you can either tell me or not. Scripture won't tell you a lot more than you want to know. Who? I want to ask a question. Who? Who is this? What is this all about? Who's in it? What? What's going on? Where? Where is this taking place? When? When is it taking place? Very important. You're going to be amazed as we walk through these verses. Why did God put it in the Bible? Have you ever wondered of if you are all wise, all omniscient, that's omniscience in my old neighborhood. You know it all. Why did God choose this particular thing to be in the Bible for you and I to read? When he has all knowledge of all things. And whatever. Whatever it is, since I know this, what difference should my life be? What difference should it make in my life with me knowing this? Those questions alone If you do it as you study every day, it will revolutionize your Christian walk. How many times have you ever thought, I'm going to bear scripture today by asking the question? When you get here, now you're ready to start studying. You can come up with your own ways. You know, this isn't the only way. This is just how I came up and how I do it. I used to have volumes upon volumes and volumes of books when I first started. Of me studying, I come up with my own little three-leaf notebooks. You never forget them. We move so many times now. One of these days, one of my kids or somebody's going to find, you know, 15, 20 of those books. Hopefully, someone will get some good use out of them. Except Sherman trying to sell them on eBay. I need a new Jeep. Pop's got some letters over here. All right. My girls, they keep them for sentimental reasons. Sherman wants money. Curtis, he'll burn them. I'm sorry, James. Just being a pastor, being truthful. Okay. You guys want to do a passage?
Yes.
What time we got?
7:35.
7:30. Really? Wow, man, we got a roll. Okay. Okay, you guys, we're gonna read, right? Okay, let's start with verse 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. I don't know if you guys know that Jesus always spoke in red. Makes it a little easier to find out on the who on some of these, right? Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. Some of the translations said there was other what kind of boats? Can't hear you. Keep that in mind. Okay? A furious squall came up. Is that a Caucasian word for a storm?
Yes. Big one.
Big one. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? Oh yeah, that's always my intention. He got up, rebuked the wind, said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to the disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and looked at each other. Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Now, how many times have you heard that story? Many times. How many times are you taking it for granted you know that story?
Sure. Yeah.
Tonight, we're going to walk through how you can study. And we're going to see how much we can get out of those few verses. And then we're going to ask ourselves, what difference should it make in my life now that I know this? Without commentaries, without helps, only our minds and asking the scriptures question and after reading it 40-some times already. Just think that you read it for 40-some times, okay? Okay, so what's the first question you want to ask the scriptures? Who is involved and who is speaking, right? So who's involved?
Jesus.
Don't take for granted. Okay? You're in no rush. This is not a race. This is study. So you got Jesus. He said something.
Disciples.
You got disciples. They said
something.
You got the multitude. Probably said something. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, that's right.
He stole your deal?
I'm sorry. I
apologize.
I won't do
it. Okay. You got the multitude. You got Jesus. You got the disciples. You got the other little boats, got people over there going, help me, help me, Jesus. Because Jesus is not in their boat. How would you like to be in a storm and not have Jesus in your boat? Have you asked that question? A lot of us been there, huh?
But who in the multitude?
Doesn't matter. Don't tell us. Just stick with what it tells you. You'll be absolutely amazed what you're going to learn. Okay? Now, if they're fishermen on Jesus' boat, and the squall comes out and the storm is bad enough to make them upset and scared. What kind of storm is it?
Nasty one.
It is a nasty storm. What's the next question?
What
is going on? We got a
storm.
Now, if you're going to be in, out in the boat, do you want to be in a storm?
No.
Okay, that's number one. Got a storm going on. All trying to get across the water. What else is going on?
Jesus is sleeping.
What is that going to tell us? Have you... it tells us much more than that. Think about it. Here we are. Have you seen paintings of Jesus being out there in the storm?
Yeah.
Have you seen that they got Jesus laying in the back of an open boat?
Yeah.
In a storm?
Yeah.
Where most of it's full of water? Somebody's lying.
Yeah.
They went in the back of the boat, Jesus underneath.
Yeah. Right.
You got 13 guys at least in that boat.
Yeah.
Jesus not outside in the rain. Does it begin to open up a little bit to you what this picture is about? And the other little boats is probably smaller than the one Jesus is in. Mm-hmm. Then getting a better picture here. So Jesus is probably dry in the back of the boat on pillows. Mm-hmm. Waiting for them to come down to get him. Mm-hmm. Can I have an amen from somebody? What he does to you and I. He'll let you get in the storm. He'll sit over there and sleep. Till you realize we better wake Jesus up to help bail the water. They didn't go down to get Jesus and go, hey, man, we're about to drown down here. Can you do something? Can you pray? You better come and get some buckets. They went down to get Jesus to come help bail the water out. When did we go to Jesus for the wrong reasons? Are you asking the scripture questions? Are you beginning to relate how we do if you ask questions? What's the next question you want to ask?
Where?
Where is it taking place? What sea is it taking place? Probably Sea of Galilee. Storms come up very quickly.
You know, I've been wondering about that. That looks, at least in the map, it looks like it's a small lake.
Compared to the ocean, it is.
But I mean, for such a huge storm to come up in a small lake.
That wind going across the Sea of Galilee can get to be pretty good. And then the Jordan is so small, this place, isn't it?
Yeah.
It just blows your mind to see the size of the Jordan in certain places.
Kind of the size of Lake Washington, I'm trying to get
it. It's a slough.
The
Jordan in some places like the slough, size of the slough.
The Sea of Galilee, in proportion to Lake Washington.
It's a little larger than Lake. You know, it's a little bit larger than Lake Washington. It's pretty good size. You almost double, triple.
Hey.
What'd you say? That's why you get the fish, Peter fish, and get sick.
Yep.
Oh Lord, man. We were sucking eggs over there eating that capita fish. Okay? So, what's the next question? Yeah, go ahead.
Would they really have woken him up if the seas are that turbulent and it's nearly swamped? Wouldn't he be awake, sitting there waiting for them to come down?
Could be, but they said they went to wake him up. So, we'll go with what the scriptures say. We were asking the question. We won't embarrass it, so... We'll keep throwing those questions. Make us think. Make us, how will we feel? How will we act? How do we act when we're in trouble? And God doesn't seem like he cares. Like he's asleep, not paying attention, not answering our prayers.
That's what they asked him. Yeah. Why don't you care?
Don't you care?
And ask him to bail.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
As you said, the wind comes down through that mountain range, and those guys were...
Coming down from Dan.
Professional fishermen.
Mm-hmm.
And they know when it's coming down and they're out in the boat, they're in trouble. They can, so you know, I've always felt that maybe it wasn't at its full
squall,
storm,
yeah.
Yeah, right. Full storm, but they knew what was happening because the wind came up, they said, oh no, we're in the middle of this thing and it's starting to, and so they they went to get him because they knew they were in trouble.
Yeah. Does anyone know where the wind would originate on the Sea of Galilee in a storm like that? Where Jesus preached Sermon on the Mount. That's why Jesus could sit, speak to over 5,000 people, and every one of them hearing without a microphone, the wind would take his wind to the whole crowd. The wind would take his voice.
So the Sermon on what mountain was that?
It's north of it's the north end of the Sea of Galilee, up on the mountain up there, and coming off the hill. It's a perfect megaphone. It's amazing to see it.
I was going to say to a sailor, that's not a far cry though. To be sleep on a cushion.
Yeah.
You got guys who sleep under the flight deck.
The jet's taking off.
Yeah, it's not. When you're tired, you're tired.
Yeah. What was being said? Give me the words that were being said. Exactly the words that were said by Christ, by the crowd. It's very important for you to remember that as we're going through this process. What time we got?
22.
What was being said?
Let's go to the other side.
Let's go to the other side. What else?
Quiet, be still.
Quiet, be still.
Why are you so afraid?
What's that? You still have no faith. One thing to nature, three things to his disciples. Three in one. The lesson there. Trinity in action to his disciples. Same as Trinity is always in action to you and I. When? Is that the next one? Is that the next question?
Yes.
Yeah.
When is this all taking place?
In the evening.
In the evening, night. If you're going to be in a storm, you want to be in a storm daytime or night?
Daytime.
You want to be in a storm in the day, at least you want to see the waves coming.
Yeah.
Can I have an amen, somebody?
Yeah.
I tell you, man, that's almost like Tyler Perry. Say man, that's a blueberry pill. You're doing his business. So how much more afraid do you think they are with a storm like that that scare fishermen and it's at night?
Very much so.
Guess when God allows you and I to have our worst time? When you can't see past your arm. Because he don't want you to see past your arm. He wants you to be able to look at him in his face. See, when you cannot see the hand of God, stare him in the face. You can always make it through. If you can't see how it's working, know his character. We're going to prove that here in a minute. What's the next question? Why do you think God allowed this to happen to the disciples? To the people in the other boat? Need to build their faith? Kind of cruel, wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
If you think about it, it'd be almost like, that's cruel. And when God said, it's not cruel, it's the only way you're going to grow. Yes, ma'am. It's part of God's personal plan for the disciple. I can't hear you.
Part
of his perfect plan for the disciple. Guess what God would do to you and I? What is his perfect plan for you and I? Same thing. When you can't see God's hand, do what?
Look in his face.
Concentrate on his face. Why do you think this is in here? Why did he allow this to happen to the disciples? Build the faith, perfect plan.
So that we can see it. That's the whole purpose of the Bible, so we know who God is.
Whole purpose of the Bible is to get to know him.
I'm sure he prepares him too. He's preparing him for what is coming down the road too.
Oh yeah, I mean, you've been with me how long?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Examples?
Can you imagine being in other little boats if the big ones are being thrown around? And it's dark out there, Jack. If, you know, I don't got to worry about the storm. You got to worry about running to other boats. Guess what we do? We get in trouble and stuff. We got to worry about what other people tell us, what we tell other people. We run into other boats. Other people is in trouble just as much as we do, and we want to hear what they got to say. They don't know any more about God than you do. You ever had that problem? Nah. Am I the only one?
No.
And a lot of times it sounds good at the time what they're saying, doesn't it?
Live action reflection of what you're just speaking on also.
When you get, if you look at what has just, what he's just taught,
yeah.
God never will put you through something that he had just prepared you for.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind, guys, all the time. God will always get you prepared for what he's getting ready to teach you. He's not going to just throw you in the middle of a lesson. He'll give you warning first, as well as not you listen. What else? Or what? Whatever. What?
I always wondered what the people in the little boat thought.
Oh, I'm going to tell you. Everybody out there, man.
But all of a sudden it stops, you know, and they're not in the boat with Jesus. And they're...
The whole thing is, I'm going to tell you the greatest miracle is, you know when storms stop, how the waves keep going for a while?
Yeah.
Bam. It went from total storm to glass. Just storm, bam, flat.
That's because Christ created the water.
Really?
Yeah. He told it, calm down.
Isn't that amazing? God made you, but you don't calm down when he tells you. Yeah, see? It'll be good for us to learn from the water.
Yeah.
It'll be good for us to learn from the water. Yes, ma'am. Jews always look for a sign. God gives them one, and they don't know what to do with it. They do.
How about this one?
Okay. Lord, can I have an extra? Yes, ma'am.
No, I was just wondering, how did Jesus want them to respond? Because he seemed disappointed that they were afraid. But to me, it's very natural to be afraid in a storm where you think you're going to die. So they go and get him, which was a good thing.
Yeah, because so he's really upset that they didn't believe what he said. It's natural to be upset. It's natural to be afraid. God is disappointed in them because they did not believe what he said. We're going to prove that in a few minutes. It'll help you.
They still don't know who he is.
Well, it doesn't matter. What he is saying is, you've been with me enough to know if I say something, it's true. He says, let's go to the other side. He didn't say, let's go out in the middle and drown. Anyone? Oh, that's a good looking guy.
He's locked up. Get him out.
Get him out. So if God tells you something, the whatsoever, or what difference should it make in my life? If God says something, does he truly mean it to you?
I have a thought.
Yeah.
Could they have cried out to God from on the top of the boat instead of crawling downstairs getting the Jesus? Why couldn't they just call to the Lord right there and say, Lord?
They wanted him out. They wanted to help bail.
But they could have called directly to God. I mean, even though...
They didn't know. They're still... He's a prophet. I mean... You know, they're still trying to figure out who this guy
Moses
is.
Moses would call up to God, and they knew the story of Moses.
Moses also didn't get to go in the land.
Yep.
So it was a time to go down, get out. Look, we in trouble here. We're fishermen. You need to get a pail. Help dip some water here. And don't you care? Don't you care? The number one word in Christians is when we try to manipulate God and each other. Because I thought you loved me. If you really love me, how many times we put guilt on people that we're married to and family members and everyone else on lines like that. Bam. God, we got a problem here. We really don't know who you are, but we do know you can help throw water. Can I have an amen? You know what I'm saying? God, I don't know if you're going to come through, but just in case, I'm going to pray. So I got my bases covered. God is not a base coverer. God is the base. And you better be standing on home plate when you go to him. He said, why are you of such little faith? Didn't you hear what I said? Let's go to the other side. That's what I mean. We're going to the other side. What else did he say?
It's interesting that it says, he didn't say, do you have no faith? But yeah. He says, do you still have no faith?
Because he had already taught them. He had already shown them over and over and over again different things about himself. He already seen him do some miracles.
So it also makes me think my personal life is that every time I have a fear, it's related to my lack of faith, which is probably all sin.
It is my lack of trust in God. That's the sin. That's the bottom line for all of us.
Yeah.
If you really think about it. No? What else? What difference did it make in your life? As he says, peace be still. Bam. What if you're on that boat?
I'd be freaking out.
Oh, man. What kind of man is this? God is just putting them through this, right? For them to find out who he is. So why does God allow us to go through situations? So we may know who he is. Not about him, but who he is. And how many of us kick against the gold? We really don't want God to show us who he is. We want him to make us more comfortable.
Just show us once and then don't do it again. I want to learn now.
I want patience now.
Peace be still on the shore.
Peace be still on the shore. Teach me out of the storm, Lord. Bring your comfort without me needing your comfort. I want a miracle without needing a miracle. That's us Christians.
I think the part that jumps up to me in a personal way too is let us go to the other side. It's how many times does God speak things into our lives or gives us a promise or gives us something, a vision or something that he has for us to do.
Yeah.
And we lose heart. And when things get rough, and I just think of holding on to that, let us go over to the other side.
Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? What difference does this make in your life now you know this? Make it personal.
Powerful.
And you write that down in your book. That's part of your lesson plan. Part of your commentary. And you can go back week and days afterwards. And you can remind yourself, I learned that. Am I still living that? Or have I forgotten it already? And then you ask yourself the question, why am I still not living what I wrote down last week? Yes, ma'am.
I always get confused when pain is involved, physical pain. I think everybody in this room is afraid of physical pain. I mean, I understand you can pray.
I like putting it on somebody else.
But, you know, that's something that I never can seem to get around. I mean, every now and then you can find peace, but truly, just knowing that if I'm going to go to the dentist and get drilled, to know that I'm getting the Vicodin calms me down. But if you told me, nobody does.
I like that girl. I like that girl. I'm going to the dentist just so I can get some Vicodin. And then when I get to dinner, I want some wind.
You know, and then
yeah, none of us like pain. guess why God gave it to us?
To teach us something.
Yeah, see? Isn't that amazing?
How do you balance your natural fear of... I think we all have it, don't we? Natural fear. Oh, gosh, that's going to hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember my motorcycle wreck. I'm flying through the air, and of course everything goes in slow motion when you have a wreck and different things, right? So I'm in the air and I'm going, and I see I'm coming down from the intersection, motorcycle sliding underneath me. I'm just seeing it just as clear as day, and I can see the cars in the car lot coming towards me, but I can't tell when I'm gonna hit it. And the only thing I can think about is, this is gonna hurt. You know, this is gonna hurt, Jack. We don't like pain. But it's the greatest teacher in all the world to be like Christ. Because that's what he did for you and I. And so you accept it from the point of view that God is going to mold me to be like Christ, and it'll be worth it afterwards. Because nothing is good when you're going through it at times. I have learned to rejoice during the difficult times, throwing up times, you know. But it's not because I have chosen to want that. God, help me throw up some more. You know, that's a sadist. That's not a Christian. You're sick. I'm going gothic with my black nails, you know. Just having a blast. But it's the time of molding. And molding is very difficult. And that's why God expects us to live a supernatural life, not a natural life. What time is it?
5:00.
Okay. What difference should this make in your life? Just find out what it says tonight in that little short couple of verses that we thought we knew. No? Can you imagine spending a year, 2 years in a book that you are studying instead of having devotions in? It would change and revolutionize your life. And always remember, there are some things God wants to say to you that he's maybe never ever said to anyone else. That's things about God he's never been revealed. And he may want to show you something that'll just blow your mind that you can show the church. That'll help us, because we're all interdependent upon one another to get the whole truth. We're going to kick in theology, heavy theology next week, and you'll never know we're dealing with theology. Reason why most theology is boring is because most people don't know what they're teaching when they're teaching theology and doctrine. They try to impress you instead of teach you what it says. And you're going to see what it means when God breathed the word. Yes, ma'am.
Add this verse, Psalm 119:16. And I was always taught that you pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come in and open your eyes and your ears and your mind and teach you.
Mm-hmm.
So Psalms 119:16 says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me.
Right.
I just think that really, the scriptures open up when we first invite the Holy Spirit to teach us.
Remember that what I said, you got to have your sins confessed, and you got to have the control of the Holy Spirit if you're going to study.
That's right.
He wrote it through all the authors, directed them. He knows exactly what it says.
The only book you can interact with the author.
Isn't it great? Mm-hmm. It's amazing at all times. He's 24/7. Almost like a 7-Eleven inconvenience store. Yeah, bro.
Go through scripture, and a lot of times you're talking about the history.
Right.
Behind the scripture.
I love history. I'm a history buff.
Right. And I go, it's so hard to find the resources.
Good history.
A lot of
good history comes from Jewish writers.
Yeah.
Josephus. Never was a believer, but you want history. But boy, it's cold. It's the book of Josephus. It's a big volume. I don't think he wrote more than one, did he? James?
He's known for the writings, the history of the Jews.
Yeah. You know, you got other Wiersbe and some of the other guys out of Dallas. What's that?
Alfred Edersheim.
Alfred Edersheim.
Sometimes the Jews is the Messiah's word.
Those different books like that give you good church history. Good, you can find good books on church history. Hard to don't get anything modern. Get the old stuff, man. Find good old written stuff. Men of old that protected the Word of God.
Why not modern stuff?
Exactly what it is. Modern stuff.
Anything newer than the 1900s, basically.
Well, you know, early 1900s is a good 1800s, but. I mean, you got guys like C.S. Lewis and some of the other guys that are really deep thinkers that really looked at the mind of God and wanted to reflect who he was. Good books.
Yeah.
Packer. Packer, most boring speaker in all the world. Great writer. But don't ever try to listen to him. You know, make you scratch your eyes with a hot poker. Ah! Help me! I'm sorry. Truth hurts sometimes with us Christians, doesn't it?
Yep.
But there's some good stuff. Yeah, Denise?
Is there a particular school book to just recommend?
Anything with Truth, three chapters, Philemon, one chapter. You know, you got Colossians, you have
First John,
Second John, First Peter, Second Peter, you got Ephesians, you got Philippians. This book around four chapters, so good to start. How many minutes in your first week? Every day? Start with five. Next week? The week after? And you build up. Always end with success. It'll make a world of difference in how well you're going to do in your study. Maybe two or three of you would do this. Don't feel bad. There's nothing harder than two things to walk with God. Consistent prayer life and a consistent study of the word life. The enemy hates it and he will beat you up. You're going to do it. Every Wednesday, you got to fight to get to this class. He does not want you here. Especially now we're getting ready to talk about the word, so really watch out for next week. Okay? Anyone else before we close? Yes, ma'am.
I have about the Sea of Galilee.
Thank you very much. Smoking. 13 by 7 miles, yeah.
13 miles long.
Yeah.
So now we're showing quite 7 miles wide.
Yeah, yeah. And neither the Sea of Galilee in some places. That's at its widest point. Thank you, guys. It is a pleasure. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for being a God. Thank you for the opportunity we have. Thank you for who you are and allowing us to be in you. Help us to study, not just do devotions, but Lord, it's work. It's a battle. It is war. And our enemy does not like it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.